Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! It's gonna heat one, kick down the field, it's gonna be to the goal line, it's gonna be gone! It's a touchdown! And they're gonna do that once again! Tyree Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back to throw, pops and fires the ball, over the middle, it's there!
Off to Harmon, he comes back, say goodbye.
Amon Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out the winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, there's a pop-up show. It's your boy, Corey. What's up with
it's it? Dan.
Beautiful vibes, man. Thursday evening, about to tap in with Walter Clayton. Appreciate everybody for pulling up with us. But before we get into that conversation, we want to chop it up about some football. How's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going good. There's a big Christmas market downstairs for my building. So if you hear some Christmas music, I mean, it's just putting you in the spirit. Mm. So. Just letting you know if you hear that in the background. But, man, it is chilly here in Tampa. I think the high today was about 60. So I had a hoodie on all day. Man, it was nice.
Yeah, the weather machine, man, is thriving right now. I woke up. It was 53 degrees in South Florida. You know, we don't really get too many chilly days, bruh. So, man, I went and found my favorite hoodie to put on this morning. Stepped outside. Even went for a walk, you know, around the neighborhood. Just enjoy this weather. I'm going to go for another walk tonight. But, yeah, the weather's beautiful, man. Tis the season.
We walked the dog this morning. I think it was 39 degrees this morning. So it was a chilly morning up here. But it's the weatherman's weathering right now. So shout out to the weatherman, especially after what the weatherman sent us back in October, man. But let's get in. Since last show, they did announce the schedule. None of this is a surprise. You know, we talked about it just being an inverse of what happened this season. Obviously, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that, but some scheduling changes overall. So let's run through this. But before we do that, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, let Brandon Walker and those folks over at whatever their podcast is, know that we're rolling heavy today. Unnecessary roughness that we're rolling heavy today. Man, screw Brandon Walker. Anyway, so the Gators start with Long Island. That was originally supposed to be Florida A&M. Florida wanted that to be the first game of the season. Florida A&M could not accommodate that. So unfortunate for the halftime show. The Gators won't play FAMU, but play Long Island. I don't know what to expect out of Long Island other than if the score is not something like 74-3, I'll be disappointed there. So then USF will come to Gainesville. And then here, Corey, this is probably the first surprise. We get LSU to kick off the SEC schedule in September instead of October or November where it's historically been. What are your thoughts on that game going into Baton Rouge in September? Probably like playing in the swamp in September, man.
Well, I like that we started this season with some warm-up games because Billy and the boys usually start a little slow and we got to figure some things out. So I like that we got Long Island to, you know, throw some hands at, to beat on, you know, nice little sparring match there, bro. USF, same thing. That should just be some sparring, us slapping them around the gym a little bit. LSU, teams are going to be new, so we'll see what they do in the portal. But from the LSU I seen last year, I like that matchup, man. It, like to kick off SEC play. Just going in, I think we'll be favored in that game. Just, you know, looking from a long distance here. Mm-hmm. But I like that we're kicking it off. Like, the schedule is going to be the schedule. Like, you need a competitive schedule. We're gonna have a schedule that if we win 10 games, we're going to be in the playoffs. There isn't going to be any shrimp to schedule talk with any of our schedules. Every year, we're going to be in the thick of things as far as shrimp to schedule. But I don't mind. I'm not scared of LSU at all. Kick it off with some LSU. It's a little different because Tennessee's late, and we're usually getting them early around the third game, fourth game-ish. So I'm vibing. I like it. What you think?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that you're right. I think that, you know, Florida gets a chance to work out some of the kinks and get some of the new players that they have rocking and rolling to start the season. And then LSU, I think, is a beatable team. I think that, you know, our talent is going to get better. And I think that LSU is going to be maybe the same team, if not potentially a slightly worse team going into next season. So I like Florida to be 3-0 to head down to Miami. And let's circle that game September 20th. We will be down there standing on furniture at Hard Rock. Yeah, yes. No disrespect to the Miami Dolphins who own the stadium, but we'll be standing on furniture. We will absolutely do some sort of event tailgate down there, get the whole crew down there for that Miami game. So, next week, heavy.
Like, they don't have any statues down in the Hurricane statues, but I got to return the favor and get real disrespect. They was all over my furniture, man. So, I can't wait for that Miami game. Get down there. I think they got Notre Dame to kick it off. So hopefully they got a couple L's. Hopefully they beat up a little bit when we head down there. But I like our chance. They got to find a quarterback and some more pieces out of the portal. But I like us to start off. This is a long ways out, but I like us to start off 4-0 right there. I think it gets real tricky right here at the Texas game, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So then Texas will come to Gainesville for the first time. I'm looking it up right now since 1940 where they beat – us 26-0 in 1940. So this is the first time they're coming. Obviously, coming to Florida, this is obviously a rematch, 49-17. Gators lost this season. Think it's going to be a completely different team there. Really cool opportunity to see two blue blood programs play for the first time in Gainesville. I know a lot of Gator fans went out there and had a great time. So now it's our time to return the favor and hopefully return an L back to Austin. And then what seemingly is our annual matchup against Texas A&M. Don't know why we don't ever play Auburn anymore, but we'll play Texas A&M at Texas A&M next season. Try to beat them and get that win back. So the Gators had 5 losses this season. 3 of those losses came to teams that they're going to play back to back to back. So hopefully we expect for some different results there. Then the Gators will host Mississippi State, who, Corey, it looks like will be helmed by Luke Kromahawk at quarterback.
Hey, Luke going to get tired of getting his ass whooped by us in a minute. Like, he can't avoid. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think Luke can do better spots than Mississippi State, to be honest with you. Wouldn't mind seeing like a guy like Dan Mullen grab Luke, you know, go out there to UNLV. He could play a year early, and I think he probably hit the portal again. But Texas' quarterback position is going to be iffy as well. They're trying to push him out, and because they want Ark to start. So we'll see. I think we get with our schedule. What I like the most is, you know, everybody that we're facing outside of LSU, we should see new quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Then Georgia, obviously in Jacksonville. Then we'll welcome. Florida will go to Kentucky. They will have a new quarterback. Then they'll go to Ole Miss, which is a game that Florida's not had at Ole Miss in quite some time now, if I remember correctly. Seeing the Grove and going to Oxford, Mississippi is a really cool experience if you get the chance to do that. So that might be a cool away game for those. The weather should be elite. That's going to be a fun one. And then to end the season, normally the Gators start with Tennessee at home, but this season they're going to end with Tennessee at home, and then they will welcome Florida State right after the Thanksgiving holiday. So to me, the schedule looks much more palatable. You kind of break up some of those games, but also, you know, we talked about it at the end of last season, or the end of the season, pardon me, the season's not over. At the end of the season, now Florida is a team on somebody else's schedule that they have to look at and say, oh, Now Florida's the hard team. Now Florida's the challenging team on their schedule. It's not just that Florida has a really tough schedule. There's some very quality teams here. But I like the Gators' favorability, and I like Florida's chances to have a significantly better record next season.
100%, man. The schedule is just appeasing too. If you, if you're a kid that want to play big boy games and, you know, be on the big stage, this is a very good schedule. Like, I know we as fans, we won't have the talent, or we're not having good projections to the season, we get a little down with a schedule like this. But with Ladd going into this, and for recruiting purposes, this looks very good, man, with like the type of games we're gonna be playing week in and week out. I also love the way they presented the schedule. You know, the media team, we got one of the best just media, social media teams in the game, bro. Having Fred Graham and, you know, those guys involved in this, bro, I thought it was an excellent rollout, bro. Loved it.
Absolutely. So go check that out if you haven't already. We're going to welcome Walter Clayton here in about 12 minutes or so. But news came out, Dan Mullen, 5-year contract to UNLV. He's going to replace Barry Odom. Barry Odom left to go to Purdue, which I know is a school that has some money, big engineering school. I know that they've had some success recently, but was a little surprised to see him go to Purdue. But Dan Mullen, who posted numerous times this offseason, him at some pool parties, I believe it was St. Kygo, will be living in Las Vegas. Corey, what are your thoughts on the Dan Mullen UNLV marriage?
I think it's a good, it goes to show like the fall off of Dan Mullen a little bit as well, right? Because he does have a good resume for a head coach and reputation. But it seems like his reputation did take a hit with the way he left Florida and the way that ended. But I think it's a good situation for him. You know, the recruiting expectations aren't that high. They have great lakes and pools, so he can vacation and vibe a little bit. I also think that's a league he can probably dominate. You know, if he goes in locked in and focused, I think he could dominate that league and possibly get another opportunity at a bigger program, maybe in the SEC, Big 12, ACC type vibe. But I think it's a good spot for Dan, man.
Yeah, no, I, like you said, I don't think the pressure's too high. I am curious. Obviously, he coached at Utah for a couple seasons, but didn't really recruit that area very much. So I'd be curious to know what his recruiting footprint's going to be. Las Vegas is obviously a global city that can attract people from, you know, all over. I would imagine that most of their recruiting ground will be in Arizona and California, Washington, Oregon, that area. But, you know, I'd be curious to see if he's able to attract, you know, some of your mid-tier kind of Florida talent or your Southeast talent. I'm curious to see what his staff looks like. Certainly a number of those guys that were on staff with him at the University of Florida are unemployed. Billy Gonzalez is working at UF. I don't imagine he'll necessarily make a move unless his contract is not renewed to go join him. I think John Hevesy would probably jump at the opportunity to go over there, but be curious to see what his staff looks like.
Yeah, Lowe's, man. You got to put him 2 weeks in, bro. I think Dan Mullen's going to do different. Like, it depends the buy-in from UNLV, right? Because I thought he did well with transfers while at Florida. He got some good transfers. You know, he just struggled more. To me, he recruited grown men better than he did the kids coming out of high school. So
sure.
I think if UNLV is playing, you know, the money game with NIL and Dan's able to sling around some money here and there and get the grown-ups, if he recruiting out of the portal, you know, guys that's looking to get into the NFL, quarterbacks, receiver that want to, you know, that he don't have to convince, he's just given a job and not selling no programs and stuff like that, I think he'll do all right. It's when he got to kiss recruits' butts, so he's not good at that.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. So obviously, you know, he's going to go in. He's got a great system that has done well, and I think that he'll be successful. There's not a lot of great talent out in that conference. You know, what Barry Odom built, I would imagine that depending on graduation and everything else, I don't know UNLV's roster at all. You know, I would imagine that he'll be able to retain some of that talent. You know, they're a pretty fast, high-powered offense that was running under Brendan Marion. I'd be curious to see if Brendan Marion is going to stick around. Yeah. You know, outside of Boise State, there's just not a ton of talent a ton of competition in that division. And if you have a good foundation to build off of, I think Dan Mullen can go and have some success. And then, you know, in his off times, he can go to XS or, you know, to whatever nightclub he wants to and, you know, throw down with Calvin Harris or Marshmello.
Yeah, bro. Like,
I mean, no offense. I mean, you take some recruits to go to like the pool party at, you know, Dre's, Marshmello, man, instead of going to Dave and Buster's.
Dre's is my vibe. I'm gonna tell you, bro. When I'm out there, I hit that Dre's pool party. It's a whole vibe. What do you think about Bill Belichick at North Carolina?
That was my next question. Corey, okay. I actually just saw something. His buyout right now is $10 million after it's either June 1st or July 1st of 2025. So in 6 months, like literally just 6 months, his buyout goes from $10 million to $1 million. So I don't know. I don't buy the story that he's selling. I think that he had an opportunity to interview for some jobs for the NFL last season and they didn't select him. And I think that he's bored. I think he likes coaching. He wrote a program, like a 400-page program of what he needed and the buy-in and the NIL and everything else. I just, who was it that said it? One of the players that was being interviewed today, one of the NFL players said, or no, I'm sorry, it's Cliff Kingsbury. He's like, I'll believe it when I see him on the sideline. So that's probably my opinion as well. When your buyout, changes like that to, give you an opportunity to leave pretty quickly. I am curious about your motive, but
his buyout's like that before fall football next year.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's either June 1st or July 1st, 2025. It goes from 10 million to 1 million. But I think that Bill Belichick is an incredible coach. I think it's going to take a couple of years to build the program that he probably would want. But I think from knowing what it takes to develop somebody to potentially get to the NFL, he's going to be elite at that. It's just a matter of does that transition when you're going to probably only put 10, 12 guys on your roster in the NFL and getting everybody else bought in. We haven't really seen something like this before.
People get mad at nepotism. I'm not mad at the nepotism move. I'm all for that type of shenanigans, bro. Like if you worked hard enough to be able to, parlay your kid into a position, then by all means make that happen. But if he makes it to the sidelines, y'all, smash that like button while we at it, man. If you're on Twitter, hit retweet, share it, man. That helps us climb algorithms and build the show. We appreciate everybody that's hanging out. But yeah, if he makes it to the sideline, I like it, bro. I think I want to see what his staff looks like.
Mm-hmm.
This is Bill Belichick. He knows talent. There are some concerns about, just watching and reading the tweets and people's opinions. A lot of people are talking about him relating to recruiting, bro. Recruiting is a lot of money these days, bro. I don't know about the relatability that it matters as much. It helps. It definitely helps. If the money's even, then, players are leaning towards things they can relate to, definitely. But I think he's a guy, dog, that could if he's invested, if he really cares about college football, he could cause some problems in the ACC. Could just be setting his son up for a nice gig and, showing his son the ropes, getting his son a nice foundation at UNC as well.
Well, and he's got a great fertile recruiting ground as well. I would imagine that he's going to go and hire some great assistants to work for him. And I would be hard pressed to believe that there's probably not a lot of great people that would jump at the opportunity to go coach under him, right? And his ability to attract those coaches can, we've seen it a lot over the last few years, the number of coaches that are jumping from college to the NFL, right? We saw it with UF, they lost a couple of coaches after Billy Napier's first year. So I wouldn't be surprised if a number of coaches that I wouldn't be surprised if his staff is significantly stronger than most people think it might be. And the relationships that he can probably build pretty quickly to say, hey, I can get you to that next spot. And if you can be somebody that coached under Bill Belichick, and I know that he's got a coaching tree that has some question marks about future success, but I think a lot of coaches are going to jump. I think a lot of folks in the transfer portal are going to jump. I just, like I said, when you see a buyout like that, when you see somebody that's never coached college football before at 72 years old, it's a different game. So, if he can get the GM and he can get all of the other pieces figured out and he can go and coach, then it's fascinating to watch. And, shout out to UNC for trying something different, I guess.
I think UNC dropped the ball. I thought they should have went and got Dan Mullen. We'll see how it all plays out. Belichick is a legendary coach and it's hard to turn down that opportunity. But after going with one old man with Mac Brown and you turn around and come back with another old man, I'm just like I like it. I'm not mad at it, but I thought Dan Mullen and North Carolina would have been the perfect marriage, And I do like North Carolina's fertile recruiting ground. It's some absolute studs in the Carolina areas. They recruited well with Mac Brown. They had the bags out. They have that Jordan brand. So, and they care about football a little bit out there. They're trying to get better, but their recruiting expectations aren't what we are in the SEC at Florida. So I thought Dan Mullen would have been a perfect match for them out there. But, and then Dan Mullen jumps at the next job available, right? With the UNLV. Right. I was shocked by that, but I think Dan Mullen wanted that job as well.
Yeah. They also interviewed Glenn Schumann, the defensive coordinator at Georgia. I guess they interviewed him twice. Those are the kind of things that I need happen, right?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Shout out to Bill Belichick, but I need you to go get Glenn Schumann.
I mean, speaking of possible people getting pulled away, Brian Hartline at Ohio State, he interviewed for the West Virginia OC job, snatch him away as well. Get him out of there.
He interviewed for the head coaching job, didn't he?
Oh, did he? I thought it was OC. Yeah. The head coaching?
I thought it was a head coaching job.
Yeah, because they did. They did just hire Rich Rod. So you're right.
They hired Rich Rodriguez. So he's back. He's back in West Virginia. So that gives Jacksonville State an opportunity to go hire somebody else that will carry that torch and probably get poached by another school in a couple of years.
Yeah, Bryce. Looking at the coaching possibility that's out there, Bryce, a lot of retreads, a lot of just nothing I'm excited about, bro. It's just a lot of old names getting thrown back into college football here a little bit. So we'll see how it all plays out. I want to talk some transporter, but we can talk more of that after Walter Clayton. I don't want to get started and then have to stop. So,
yeah, I mean, we can get started and then we'll piece it together after if you want.
Let's do it.
I know the big name that everybody is wanting to know about is Keyshawn Silver, the defensive lineman from Kentucky. He visited UF. He is on his way to, I believe, USC right now. For all intents and purposes, it seemed like the visit went well. He's a guy that's going to be offered a lot of money, and I would imagine that he's kind of chasing that bag around. Corey, have you heard anything on your end?
No, some of the same things you're hearing. Hearing seven-figure type money is what he's looking for, right at a mil, which is I don't like to say what people's value is, right? It's like supply and demand. He's one of the highest demand defensive tackles that's out there. But I heard the visit went well. I'm pretty sure Florida knew what his price tag was before he got on campus, so it shouldn't have been any sticker shock. And he's going to do his due diligence. I know there's some fans out there saying, oh, we got to close on these deals while they're on campus. You put yourself in a kid spot, bro. I would take more visits to try to create some leverage, bidding, negotiating, which is what it is, unless I get just a deal that I just can't refuse. Slackman did the same thing last year. I know some fans complaining when Slackman left, and then we end up closing on him. So I think he's going to Michigan out the USC. I don't know if the Miami trip is still going down, but we play the game. We do business. We got some more visits on deck. Transfer portal. These are grown men. His camp is very quiet. What they're trying to, what they're giving to the press. They're not doing any interviews or talking to reporters after these visits. So, we sit and we wait. I think he's high up on the totem pole as far as, what they're valuing and priority-wise, So we'll see how it all plays out.
Absolutely. The other ones that have been scheduled, Chase Sowell, the wide receiver out of Eastern Carolina, he's going to visit on the 21st of December. He's got a number of other visits that he's scheduling. Tommy Doman, he's a punter from Michigan. I believe he just wrapped up his visit today. A little surprised that Florida was going to go after a punter, just because I know that they just signed one, and I know that you often have punters punt for 3 or 4 years. So again, maybe going to get another guy for the opportunity just to ease him in. Walter Clayton's here, so I'm just going to get through the last two. Zachariah Poser from Jacksonville State will be visiting in 2 days. He's the safety, incredible talent from Florida. And then Reggie Virgil, Red Zone Reggie, I guess is what they call him. He's scheduling his visit here soon as well. So Keyshawn Silver, Chase Sowell, Tommy Doman, Zachariah Poser, Reggie Virgil are the names that are out there that Florida wants you to know are out there. So probably a few other names are on campus or will be on campus here shortly. With that being said, we're going to welcome our special guest of the evening, Florida Gators basketball superstar, Walter Clayton Jr. Walter, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. Doing good. How y'all doing?
Good, man. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
Yes, sir. For sure. Glad y'all got me on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Walter, talk to us a little bit about your story, man. You transferred to UF. This is your second year at the University of Florida. Came over here from Iona. So I kind of want to hear a little bit about you ending up in at Iona. And then, you know, I know that you left with the same time that Rick Pitino left. And, you know, there was some discussion that you might go and follow him to his next school and how you ultimately ended up at Florida.
Yeah, got it at Iona. I went to like a little, you know, we was during all the COVID times and stuff, so I didn't get too many offers when I was in high school, kind of mainly because of that. So I ended up, Coach Pete ended up calling around beginning of my senior year. So I just, that was kind of heard his name, and I was like, yeah, I'm coming to New York. That's basically how that went. So got up there, spent 2 years with him. He ended up leaving, going to St. John's, and then the decision came around. And it was basically like at the beginning, I kind of either wanted to come home or go with him. So I kind of cut my choices off real quick at the beginning. And then ended up finding out that my girl was pregnant. So that was kind of like golden. It was recruiting me. Everything was going on. Felt like a family environment. Everything felt good. And then that was kind of like cherry on top. Heard that she was pregnant, and it ended up, you know, making the decision, having to come home.
Let's rewind a little bit. So what was it like when Rick Pitino, he calls you? Like, we all know Rick Pitino, legendary basketball coach, one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. When you get that phone call, that letter from him, like, what's that like getting in the recruiting process as a high school kid?
Yeah, man, he called, I don't know, I ain't gonna say I was starstruck, but then again, at the same time, you know, this is the same coach. I was in my living room, you know, watching Louisville and they natty game, you know, winning. So it was, I say, a little bit of starstruck, you know, just getting that phone call. It was just, I was just thankful, man, to be honest, you know, that he just recognized me, felt like I had some talent to be able to come play for him. I was just thankful.
What's the basketball culture like in Polk County, bro? Like, I know it's a football. Everybody knows it's football time. I heard you play some football as well. We'll talk about that. But what's the basketball culture like in Polk County?
Man, hard-nosed basketball too, man. I'm talking about full-court pressing, you know, focused on defense. That's the main thing, just Polk County defense. You know, you hear all these guys in high school dropping 50 points in high school, 60. That ain't happening in Polk, man. We just ain't letting it happen. So that's kind of the culture down there.
And I heard you play some football, man. What made you lean towards basketball and not football, being from Polk County?
Man, just my first love, you know, since a baby, my mom and my daddy had a basketball in my hand. So I think that was just the main decision. I felt like if I focused on basketball more, I could just go a little further with it rather than sticking with football. It was a little hot out there at practice too, man. I couldn't do it. I ain't gonna lie.
Walter, what was it like transitioning from Lake Wales? I know, pretty small town in Polk County, then going up to New York and dealing with the weather and, you know, another small town, away from family, everything else. What was that like for you?
I ain't gonna lie. The first couple weeks was rough. I ain't gonna lie, man. I was calling my mama, telling her, like, I don't know if I could do this. I'm about ready to come home. And she told me, like, you ain't coming home. You better stay up there. So we kind of went back and forth a couple weeks about that. But, you know, after a minute, I got adjusted to it. I was in New Rochelle. So it was kind of like, it was like its own little college town, basically. It was like 30 minutes outside the city. Iona was like a little college town, so it was, I don't know, the weather was tough to adjust to, but other than that, it was smooth, man. You seen the same faces every day, same people, so became family with a lot of people up there.
Now, I want to ask you, your childhood friends with Gervon Dexter. I also saw that you had offered to play football at UF, right? What was that like? What made you decide, hey, I want to go play basketball at Iona instead of play football at Florida or Notre Dame, Tennessee?
Honestly, I was going to come play football at Florida if I would have picked a football school, or if I would have continued playing football, I would have came to Florida. But ended up just people telling me, you know, some of the college coaches in basketball was like, oh, we ain't going to offer him. We don't want to look at him because at the end he's going to pick football. So I heard that from a few different coaches, and I'm thinking in my head, like, well, if that's what they think and I want to play basketball, I might as well just go ahead and stop playing football, you know, focus on basketball completely. And then maybe those offers would come around. But then, you know, the COVID and stuff hit. So ended up having to go to Iona. You know, it was a little bit different for me. But went there for 2 years in the portal. We here now.
Yeah, man. And it's on and popping, bro. I've been enjoying the season. I ain't going to lie to you, bro. I unplugged from basketball. Since Golden been back, I've been locked in. The last few years of Mike White was depressing. I got away from Florida basketball. Ty got this thing jumping, you know, like you're probably one of the best per scores we've seen in a very long time. Dunking on people, shooting the ball. What's it been like playing for Ty Golden?
Man, it's been great, man. You know, Golden, he the first coach I'd have had, you know, the way he is. He's just real positive. You know, everything always positive with him. So it's definitely been different, but it's been good, man. Coach Golden bring the energy every day in practice. The same person y'all see out there on the game, you know, when the games come, that's the same person he is in practice. So, man, it's been an enjoyable experience for sure.
Todd, I've gotten to know Todd pretty well, Corey. I know you have too. He's a music guy. So what's he putting on the aux cord when you guys are at practice?
Golden don't get the aux at practice, man. No. We run that.
What are we playing?
Man, you know, everybody listen to the boss, man. You know, you got Gunna and a lot of Rod Wave. Golden probably tired of Rod Wave at this point, to be honest. But, you know, we got that Rod and then, you know, just a couple other underground artists. You know, just it's a lot of people on there. A lot of people get played in the gym.
I've gotten to know, like I say, gotten to hang out with Todd a few times. Seems like a pretty cool guy. Is he a pretty cool guy, or is he a little bit of a shtick as well?
Nah, Coach Golden cool, man. He good with me. I don't know what anybody else think about him, but he good with me.
Yeah, he seems like an awesome guy. So talk to us. So what was the transfer portal like? You go into the transfer portal. I know that you had looked at Florida, potentially at St. John's, following Rick Pitino. But what's that process like? Talk us through coaches reaching out to you. And, what you know, I know that you had a pregnant girlfriend. I know that you were, you know, grew up close to University of Florida. But what was that process like? And what did you want to hear from a coach to make you decide to come to wherever you're going to play next?
Yeah, man. It was smooth for me. I ain't gonna lie. I know a lot of people say it's probably chaotic. It was a lot of coaches kind of hit me up, hit my people up, but kind of like cut it. Like I said, cut it down real quick to Florida and St. John. So really, all I needed to hear, you know, was just family environment. You know what I'm saying? We was gonna work every day. I ain't really want no guarantees. You know, I ain't really need too much. I just wanted to see the offense. Golden them showed me the offense. I already kind of knew what I was running with Coach Pedem. So just showing me the offense, showing me how I'm going to fit in, showing me what I could do to get on the court and just, you know, just having the opportunity to get on the court. So that was really it.
Y'all team chemistry seems to be very good for, like, you know, transfer portal put together team. You guys seems, you know, selfless. You know, everything seems to be on the up and up. On defense, you guys share the ball well. Like, how were you guys able to gel so well together so quick like that?
A lot of time in the summer. I think that was one of the big things. Spent a lot of time together in the summer. And just spending time every day at practice, you know, getting to know each other as people, you know, getting to know each other mentality. And I think the main thing with everybody on our team, man, everybody just focused on winning. So I think that's where that selfless portion come in. You know, everybody just focused on winning. It could be anybody's night. You know, we all just going to be happy for each other.
Yeah, I was watching the game the other day, and I saw or I heard a stat that said out of the starting five, each of the starting five has led the team in scoring at least once this season. Talk to us a little bit about you just gelling with, you know, obviously you guys were able to carry, you know, some of the guys from last year's roster over to this year's roster. And then you added a couple scores, you added a couple big men. What's it like to transition from year one at UF to year two for you? And, you know, especially as a leader on the team now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a smooth transition. I think that, that'd be kind of with anybody, you know, from year one to year two, just kind of knowing what Golden them want. Some of our assistant coaches kind of just expect out of us on a daily basis. So just getting here kind of already knowing some of the drills that we do in practice, knowing the routines before the game, you know, knowing the routines on the road and stuff like that. So it's definitely been a smooth transition.
Did you have that Virginia game? You struggled in that game last year, but this year you came in and, you unloaded the clip on the win for 27 on the boys.
Yeah.
Did you have that game marked down? What was your approach heading into that matchup?
I ain't have it marked down, but when the day of the game came, it definitely was in the back of my mind, you know, the stuff from last year. And then I had one of my cousins, you know, sending me some stuff from last year, too. So he reminded me, and I was just ready to get out there on the floor and play, you know, get that dub.
Yeah, yeah. I seen just scrolling and be just on social media quite a bit on Instagram. I seen Tracy McGrady gave you some love on there, another Polk County guy. Do you have a relationship with Tracy, or what's it like with him?
Nah, I ain't really got, like, no personal relationship with him, but last year after the I probably met him a few years back, I think at the T-Mac tournament, you know, the little tournament he threw down there in Arbondale. But last year after the Kentucky game, at Kentucky, he was there, walked out the tunnel, and I just heard somebody yelling Polk County. I look over, I'm like, I look at him as T-Mac, I'm like, oh, it's not, he remembered me, he know me, I don't know which one it was, but
said
what's up to him, and yeah, we know each other.
Nah, that's love, what's up? had juggling fatherhood, you know, schoolwork, basketball. Like, how tough is it, man?
Man, I ain't gonna say it's too tough. You know, I think my family, especially my girl, she just do a good job of kind of taking as much pressure off me as she can. You know what I'm saying? Doing a good job taking care of our daughter, Leilani. So it's been smooth, man. It's been, fatherhood is good. Different type of love, different type of drive every day. So it's been good.
I've got a question. I was there when Torian Green played. I didn't play basketball, as you can probably tell. But I was at UF with Torian Green, and he's kind of a buddy of mine from back then. But what's his impact been on you? And from obviously his background and, you know, winning a national championship at UF and getting the opportunity to play professionally, what's his impact been for you?
Man, it's been a good impact. Just I say mentally for sure. Just mentally, you know, he been here. He done did it at the highest level at this school. So whenever you got one of them guys who, you know, he just come from it, have that passion for the just being a Gator, just hearing him in your ear every day, it's good. You know, I think it just pushed me to go a lot harder. And then every day, just him being a point guard on that team with Billy Donovan, you know, just little things he see. He been in the player's shoes, played pro overseas, you know, had a chance in the league a little bit. So just him telling me the things that he done seen has been great for me.
What has been your favorite stadium to play at on the road?
On the road, favorite? I ain't going to lie. We lost, but Texas A&M was jumping last year. You know, they got a little small gym. It kind of feel like everybody on top of you. So I say that was probably my favorite to go to. It was kind of the best experience for sure.
What have you? Did you get the opportunity to play at Vanderbilt yet?
It's weird. Weird, man. It feel like you kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like you on top of everybody. It's like the complete opposite.
Like a stage. Almost.
Yeah, it's weird, man. I had a friend of mine, I had the opportunity to go to a game there, and it was the weirdest experience sitting down. My seats were at like eye level of the court and I would imagine just getting used to the shot and getting your jumper off and just from understanding kind of the mathematics in your head about depth perception, everything else probably throws it off, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely throw the depth perception off a little bit, but it's just, I don't know how to explain. It's like a weird feeling. Like, it don't even feel like, it feel like it's a couple more dead spots on the floor, you know, just stuff like that. So it's definitely weird.
Who's your favorite guy in the league right now in the NBA?
Favorite guy? Shout out to Bradley and Donovan Mitchell. Bradley Beal kind of been my favorite player, like growing up, just watching him. And then Donovan, you know, he came a couple years ago. So watching them too, for sure.
You model your game after them a little bit?
After Bradley, for sure. I think I tried to just all the different moves he got one-on-one. I don't really do a lot of it at Florida because, you know, we got our offense that we run. But just having those moves kind of like in my back pocket, for sure.
Gotcha.
I'm going to work through a couple questions here from the chat. What's your favorite moment as a Gator?
Favorite moment? I'd probably say the shot at Kentucky. Yeah. I said that was probably my favorite moment.
That was sick. I remember running around my house for that one.
Yeah.
Tawan here said, what's the difference between playing with Elijah Martin and Zion Pullen?
I'd definitely say ZP was definitely a lot more just ball dominant. I'd say Lodge. They two different players. ZP was like a great playmaker, you know, doing everything. Lodge is like a great just all-around player. Offense, defense, just bring a lot of energy.
Mm.
Who's the most competitive guy on the team?
It's like you want to say yourself, but I say it's out of Elijah Martin and Will Richard. I say them two guys.
You can say practice. Yourself, bro.
I throw myself in there too. I say us three. It get a little hectic in practice sometimes. I say that.
Yeah, we had Cam Jacks on the show on Monday, the defensive lineman. We asked him who the best fighter on the team was, and he was very quick to say himself. So
that wasn't Cam. That was actually Robinson.
Oh, it's Deontay Robinson. My bad.
Deontay Robinson. Do you following the football guys? You going to any games to check them boys out?
Yeah, no, I was definitely at some games. I was at LSU, I was at Ole Miss, and then I was at a couple early in the year, but I didn't stay the whole game. LSU and Ole Miss, I stayed the whole game.
But you and DJ Ladway got to be the big guys on campus right now, right?
I ain't gonna say that, DJ, man. That's all Ladway, man. I just be chilling.
DJ Ladway, crazy right now a little bit.
What part of your game do you think needs the most improvement? It's a good question from Jay.
Improvement? I definitely say I could get more consistent on defense. I think I've shown flashes, but just being consistent with it every game, you know, every day, I definitely say defense.
Did you get any feedback from like NBA scouts after last year? You know, mm-hmm. trying to see if you're gonna go pro or not. What kind of feedback did you get from the NBA?
Yeah, defense was one of the things. Just like they kind of said the same thing, especially off ball defense, just fighting through them screens. So that part, and then just being a. Some teams wanted different stuff. Some teams was like they want a pure point, and then other teams was like they kind of want me with the scoring, just take care of the ball more. So, but I think overall, everybody was just saying take care of the ball more with the turnovers and stuff like that.
That's what's up, man. What? Give me your favorite Jordan shoe.
Jordan Fours easily.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's I like 13s, but 4 is probably my second. That was my
13s. 13s smooth. I rock 14s too. I like a little low top, but nah, 4 is my favorite for sure.
Oh, I had shoes just like that growing up. They weren't Jordans, obviously. I wasn't cool enough, but shoes just like that.
Yeah, probably Pumas or something. If you was to get a shoe deal, like in the pros or NIL wise, whoever, do you have a preference? Any shoe company?
Nah, I ain't really got no preference, man. Whoever got the best offer. I'll just say that.
Somebody asked who's the better dunker, you or Denzel Aberdeen? And if it's neither of you two, who is it?
Zell for sure. I think if y'all come pregame, y'all probably see how easy Zell get up there. Zell got all type of tricks, 360 windmills and all that. He a little younger. I ain't doing all that jumping no more.
Hey, walk me through that Wichita State game. You guys obviously were doubled up on them, and you know I think you guys ended up winning by 40 points. Is it easy to stay like motivated in a game like that? I mean, it feels like it's a game that's kind of easy. I mean, once you're up by 25 and there's you know seven, eight minutes left in the game, it's kind of easy to pull your foot off the gas. But it seems like you guys were just still hammering them hard. What was that game like?
Championship, you know, anytime you get a chance to play for a championship, I think everybody just kept on talking about that almost every time I huddle. So I think that's what kept us all motivated for sure. And just that was kind of a quick turnaround from the Wake Forest game. And the way that Wichita played, it wasn't too hard to scout. It was like a lot of ball screens, a lot of one-on-one offense. So I think we had a great game plan and just let us play defense real good that game.
You're a veteran player. We'll get to the fan question. I know we got some more in there. We'll get to y'all in a minute. Let me ask one real quick. You're a veteran college basketball player at this point. Just how you guys are just, you know, waxing teams right now. Y'all blowing teams out. Are you concerned? I know it's going to get a little tougher. We got some good matchups on the way. How important it is to peak at the right time, like leading into the tournament and whatnot. Like, how do you guys monitor that?
For me personally, I'm big on practice and just every day, you know, just trying to get at least 1% better. Actually, my coach is probably a little different. They probably worry about peaking at the right time. But I think just getting better every day at different things. You know, one game our offense might have us win. One game our defense might have us win. One game our underneath out of bounds plays might have us win. So I think just every day just getting better at every little thing, you know, and finding just different ways to win throughout the year.
Okay. We got another one that said, what is the ceiling of this year's team?
Hey, man, it's hot. I say that. I don't like to put, you know, specifics on stuff, but it's hot, man. I feel like we got a great team, great chemistry, great group of guys, and we can go far for sure. Just got to keep working every day, earning it.
Got you.
Let's see. Who's the funniest player on the team?
Probably get at Will Richard.
Okay.
All he wanna do is joke all day, so I'm gonna say him for sure.
Now I'm gonna guess, but I'm gonna hold that guess. Who do you have an NBA team that you watch or a favorite?
I'm gonna let you guess first.
I'm gonna guess the Orlando Magic just being in Lake Wales, but I understand if you're not, because they've been pretty boring for most.
Hey, bro, don't hate on my Magic on here, cuz don't do that.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. It'd be hard to watch the Magic game. They be messing
up. Yeah,
man, don't do that.
I ain't gonna lie, they make it hard to watch them, but probably the team I watch. I don't watch a lot of regular season. I don't really watch to the playoffs, but I definitely watch the Heat. I just like the way the Heat play.
Oh man, bro.
I knew I had a favorite player. and your boy ZP's on their team now. Who's the best player that you've played against?
Played against best player. That's a good question. I mean, it's a couple guys. You know, I think Janot from Auburn is pretty good. I think Dog Connect for sure. I'm tripping. Yeah, it was Dog Connect for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a rough one last year too. That's why I say him.
That was a good team that they had last year.
Nah, for sure.
Let's see. If you could describe the team in one word, what would it be?
One word. I'll say, I don't know. I can't. My mind went blank a little bit. I just say, I don't know, man. A hard-working, tight-knit group. That ain't one word, but I just say
Hard-working. Hard-working, hyphenated. Hell yeah. I love that. Obviously the SEC changes so much now, and then with the transfer portal, a lot of these teams change so much now. What game are you most looking forward to this season?
Probably the game I'm looking forward to most is probably Auburn at Auburn. I heard Auburn got like a great home environment, so I'm just kind of ready to get in there. You know, that's one of the games.
I'm gonna be at that one. I'm in town for that one, bro. I'm gonna be at that one for sure.
That's the one. I'll say that's the one kind of looking forward to. But man, I'm just ready to play every night though. Every game we got, I'm ready.
What's that? February 15th, something like that, right?
Yeah, somewhere around that time. I don't know the exact time or the exact date, but somewhere around there.
Definitely want to check that one out.
Let's see, Walt. I appreciate your hate for FSU. Yeah, I think we all do, man. We appreciate that. Yeah, that you had a hell of a quote a couple weeks ago. Corey, you got anything else?
Nah, man. Just looking forward to like the rest of this season, man. Connecting with you more, bro. On some more content. Appreciate you for sliding through, man. And also, you got the streets buzzing, man. I don't know if you pay attention to social media, but you got a whole hive out there. Gator fans love you, my dude.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all, man. I appreciate y'all having me on here. Appreciate Gator Nation for the support they've been giving us all year long. Let's keep it going.
Already, man. Go Gators.
We appreciate you.
Go Gators.
Go Gators, brother. That was good, man.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
Got to keep tapping in with all the athletes on campus. This is something we're going to do more often. Enjoying it, man. Have football players on here. Tap in with the basketball team. We'll tap in with some more sports. You want to finish some Porter talk?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, smash that like button while y'all still here. Like everybody that's hanging out with us, we appreciate all the love. We got y'all questions in here without a super chat. So at least you can do it. Hit like. You know what I'm saying? Hit like, subscribe, show us some love. If you're on Twitter, retweet the little live thing, man. The more people in here, the merrier, man. We appreciate everybody hanging out.
Man, we didn't even ask. We just threw it out there. I mean, that's pop-up love right there. You know what I mean? Love, baby. Anthony Beck had a super chat earlier. I appreciate that. J. Mike Stordavant to potentially commit. We did not talk about him. He is the UCLA wide receiver that's on campus. Corey, I know that you've watched his film. You spoke highly of him.
I love his game. Catches the ball, contested well. I've seen some where he separate well. A lot of down the field stuff from him. 6'3" guy. Battled some injuries at UCLA. That UCLA offense was just a stinker last year, so he didn't get off and do what he's supposed to do on the stats last year. But you know, you just look at potentially what he brings to the table. I wouldn't pencil him in as my number one, right? But I think he's a guy that's going to start and be super productive if he comes into that room. Would still like to see us get Reggie Virgil, touchdown Reggie. Love his game, bro. Kid just absolutely hoop. And also Nick Anderson is a guy that hasn't set up a visit. I haven't seen him set up too many visits right now, but would like to get in on the Nick Anderson, the guy out of Oklahoma. I know he battled with some injuries this year as well. Is the receiver so well? Is it the receiver board is just plentiful? A lot of good names on that. Just give me three. I prefer us to get three. I wouldn't mind if we push one guy out, just to raise our floor a little bit. But Now, I like him. I think he's also on commit watch as well. But he also, I think the quarterback we got coming in from UCLA as a possible QB2 type situation.
Yeah, Justin Martin. He can spin. We don't have to lie on this show. Nick's not here. No, Justin Martin, you're right, is a guy that that did play with him. He's got 2 years left. He's transferring from UCLA. The other quarterback that I know Florida is monitoring is Deshaun Purdy. He's the quarterback from Charlotte. He's got 3 years left to play. He's a guy that can spin it for sure. Also just recently got offered by Georgia. I know he has a UF offer. I know they're planning on trying to figure out when he's going to visit. You know, again, we talked about on the show, Florida's coaching staff expects to be in Tampa starting on Monday through the game on Friday. So that throws in a little bit of a sticky wicket, as my white people say, in terms of scheduling these visits and trying to work around what that might be. But those are probably the top two names, Justin Martin and Deshaun Purdy, that UF is going after.
Right, right. What do you think about the Jack Pyburn exit, man? He's into the portal. I know a fan favorite, bro. We talked about it before it happened, like pre-show, last show, which was Monday evening. We talked about it before the show as a crew before it hit the streets. We got some buzz behind the scenes that it could go down, that he was looking around a little bit. But what's your overall feel on Jack Pyburn leaving, you know, University of Florida?
Yeah, so Zach Albaverde, and I'm not going to throw his behind a paywall report out there, like go pay for Zach's report. There is still a chance that Jack Pyburn does come back to University of Florida. It seemed to me that he's looking for, and it seems to Zach that he's looking for more assurances rather than money. I'll say this. We've got it on pretty good word that the number figure and the things that he was asking for are accurate. I love Jack Pyburn as a player. I love his energy, his enthusiasm. $45,000 a month is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I mean,
especially at a loaded position. So
I hate to call a spade here, right? But like you said, it's a loaded position. There's a lot of people at that position. There's a lot of people that want snaps. And man, like, I know not everything's captured in the stat sheet, but we've got like one sack in 3 years. It's a lot of money, man.
There's something like, and I don't want to ever tell a player, right, that like what his value and worth is, bro. Like if he thinks he can get, he entering the free market, he's going to find out what his worth, how other teams value him. Right. So he could get out there and see, oh, maybe I should just probably stay at UF. But there's a thing that you just can't pay for. And that's being a legend. You know, like Jack Pyburn is building a legacy at Florida, you know, the way he planted the flag, the sacrifice he make on the football field, just being a hard-nosed guy, the way he played special teams before he became a starter, you know, overcoming injuries, coming back, you know, growing up a Gator fan and getting that offer, committing last minute, you know, like he was probably heading to Miami before, you know, Billy and the guys gave him that offer last minute. He get, like, a lot of these kids are entering the portal and leaving a situation and when it's all said and done, when football is over, because this game isn't forever, it's just a certain legacy and being a legend as a Gator that's just invaluable. You feel me? So I just, you know, some of these players got to take an accountability of that. I know he got 1 year, but is chasing that 1 year of money and more snaps, is it worth, you know, some of what you losing legacy-wise, bro? Like, they got to weigh that out a little bit. And I think he should probably just weigh that out, come on back into the fold. You feel me?
Yeah, There was a quote that Billy Napier had. They asked him because, you know, the news about his NIL deal and everything else made it out into the public. And, you know, I know a lot of people were jumping down, you know, his throat for having demands and everything else. But this is what Billy Napier had to say. I don't know that I'm prepared to comment publicly on Pyburn. Look, man, I love Jack Pyburn. I love him like a son. He's made a tremendous impact on our team, not only with his production on the field, but with his attitude and his energy. I think obviously these things are to be determined, but I have nothing but respect for Jack as a teammate, as a competitor, and these things are unfortunate, but I do think time will tell. To me, it seems to me like there's a probably greater than 25%, maybe even greater than 50% chance after hearing that quote that I think that he comes back.
Yeah. And then the third down thing, you just got some absolute, I expect, you know, LJ McCray to take a huge jump and like and his abilities and like what they project him to be. George Gums is absolutely an animal. Like, I think he's going to take, he hasn't been playing the position long, so I'm expecting a big jump in him next year. You still got, I'm forgetting a couple names. You still got Searcy. I'm at that spot, and also Cam James. The spot, they, these guys have evaluated and recruited very well at that spot, you know, and somebody else from that room may end up exiting. That's just what it is, but we're okay. I don't think we're going to be have any problems at that spot if somebody were to leave, but I would like to see Jack come back in the fold and just eat up some guards, next fall.
Yeah, some pulling guards. Absolutely. So yeah, so we'll wait and see on Jack Pyburn. Corey, I want to get through some other names here, just in the transfer portal, just to throw them out there, just because a lot's going to change between now and Monday, and then there's going to be a lot of changes from like that Monday to the following Monday. For although sure. We will be in Tampa, so like we might do a pop up, we might do something. So if you're coming to the game, like let us know, we'll let you know. I know that there's. I'm just going to throw it out there. There's an event that's going to be at Armature Works on Thursday night in Tampa. If you're here, that should be announced soon. We'll be out tailgating before the game. We'll be at the game, so we'd love to see you. While you're thinking about, hey, where are we going to hang out with the guys from Stadium and Gale, hit the like button and hit the retweet button on that as well. We've gone over wide receivers, Chase Sowell, Reggie Virgil, Nick Anderson, some other names, Eric Rivers, Caleb Odom, and CJ Daniels are ones to monitor, but I don't think CJ Daniels, Eric Rivers, really.
Yeah, me and CJ Daniels' brothers had a spat on Twitter, bro. I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see it. What happened?
I posted my Gator dog in the polo, right? Saying that CJ Daniels, you know, the interview process is he hasn't been offered, you know, an invite to the interview, you know, process of the DJ Lagway show. We're hiring. So his brother came in my comments saying that, you know, they don't want to come to Florida. He don't want to come to Florida anyway. I was like, it may be mutual, bro. You reached out to us. We didn't reach out to you, man. It's all love. But if you're a wide receiver in college football right now, you might want to come play at the University of Florida, bro. Like, it's a privilege to come down here. The Caleb kid, not super high on Bama, and I know he's a freshman. But I'm not super high on Bama players that are on the bench. That's what got Florida State in the pickle. I want to get productive guys, you know, to be able to contribute right away when they get on campus, you know, to be able to climb the depth chart because they still got to compete with the guys we got on campus, you know. So I don't want anybody that's riding the bench. I want to get productive guys out of the portal. So that's my take on that. Like anybody.
Yeah,
that,
no, I don't. Right. I don't think you need to go and recruit youngsters. You need people that are going to come in, make the room better, and make immediate impact day one. Right. 100%. And not to say that Caleb Odom won't be that guy in the future, but just not right now. Yeah. At tight end,
Florida, I won't mind them taking Caleb, right? But my expectation would be they took Caleb because we missed on some guys down the stretch. I wouldn't have Caleb expectations penciled in as he's coming in to go help us go on a playoff run next year, right? So that's why I wouldn't mind three receivers, getting two that can play right away, and then maybe a guy that you fill in that we missed, and you know, when we didn't get boy Wilson, you feel me?
Yeah.
The guys that we didn't close on, getting a guy to kind of fill in for that. But
Dallas Wilson there. Yeah, no, I think that was the exact question. I mean, if you could throw a Reggie Virgil, Nick Anderson, and Caleb Odom, like that would be awesome. But like I don't think that Caleb Odom is looking for that either. I think that he's probably looking for a place that he's going to go and start. Looks like he's got a visit to Colorado already planned.
His high school quarterback is out there at Colorado. I think he ends up at Colorado.
Oh, okay. All right. Florida's looking at a couple guys at the offensive line and the tight end position. No offers have been indicated so far. It seems like Florida's has been pretty light on the offer so far. Defensive line, we mentioned Keyshawn Silver. And then there's another player, James Thompson Jr. No relation. As you can imagine, he has 1 year left to play. I think Florida is slow playing, it seems like, his recruitment a little bit. So just be on the lookout for that. Keyshawn Silver, we've mentioned, USC and Michigan visits on the horizon. Edge outside linebacker, Williams Wanari, is it a do not contact? He is the former five-star from Missouri. I guess all intentions are that he's going to probably go to Nebraska.
He's already committed. Yeah, he's committed to Nebraska. Yep, like okay. About an hour ago. Yep.
Okay. And then Nathan Johnson from Appalachian State. Inside linebacker, nobody. A cornerback, Dante Balfour from Charlotte is a guy that UF is taking a look at. Former top 100 guy. And then at safety, Zachariah Poser, Brandon Jacob out of Maryland, and then CJ Hurd out of FAU. Zachariah Poser has visits to LSU, Florida, and Auburn. CJ Hurd has visits to Virginia and Vanderbilt. So based on those visits, CJ Hurd may be a, you know, if it doesn't work out with Poser or somebody else, maybe try to bring him in, but not 100% sure. Just looking at visits here.
I love Poiser's game, bro. I like all the Florida boys that the staff is out there bringing them boys back home. It's an easier sell, and you ain't got to go overpay for some of these guys. But he got some real program out to him as well. Early in the chat, when we first started, I know somebody was asking me, where's the NIL money that the UAA was promising us? We'll see, bro. Like, the portal just opened. Like, everybody relax, bro. It's a process. Like, judge the portal. You know what we grab out of it when it's all said and done. Like, nobody has to have pitchforks and storm the Capitol yet. Just vibe out.
Yeah, no, we still have a couple weeks, right, where the transfer portal, there's still going to be some new additions. There's going to be some names in there that aren't in there today. There's going to be some names taken out that aren't in or that won't be in the transfer portal. So I also want to give out to shout out to women's volleyball. I've got it on TV right now. They are tied with Stanford 1-1 in the regional semifinal. So I think if they win, they're in the final four.
Oh, nice.
I think.
I didn't know we were that far along in volleyball, man. Shout out to them girls, man. Big volleyball fan.
Be a huge volleyball fan.
Yeah. Prefer beach, but don't mind. Yeah. Yeah. Volleyball's the vibes.
Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it, man. You know, if it gets popping, we may pop up again. We don't know, you know, but we're going to keep popping up on y'all, man. We appreciate all the love, bro. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we'll see you guys in Tampa. Come hang out in my backyard. And that game is, again, at 3:30 on Friday. Tickets are still available. There's an abundance of them. Still out there, so go check that out. But come over to Gainesville, come support the boys, come support Stadium and Gale while we're there. Sorry, Elite Eight with a volleyball win. So we're in the Sweet 16 right now. I guess when I said regional semifinal, I should have just done the math. But yeah, so shout out to women's volleyball for being there. Thanks, Walter Clayton, for joining the show today. If you didn't listen, it's a great interview, a great guy. And then I think Corey teased it a little bit, but we got some more stuff with Walter Clayton in the future on the horizon.
Yeah, some big events, man, coming up. 2025 is going to be very eventful for Stadium McGill, man. We hanging out big on some NIL stuff, man. But just stay tuned. Keep supporting us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, and before we head out, make sure you hit the retweet button, but hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, share, comment after. All those things help the algorithm, help us reach new people and new audiences. We appreciate the super chats. Appreciate the questions. Corey, we'll see you on Monday. Maybe
Go Gators.
Who knows? Go Gators.